Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Victor Family Victor Marco Radio.
Well, I don't know where that came from, ladies and gentlemen. This is Corn Liquor Monthly, where we talk about everything corn liquor. Now, we had a call in just yesterday saying he was making something different from white line, and it had a yellow tint to it, and we were trying to find out exactly what that yellow tint was for. Clear as a bell, except for all the floaties in it, of course. But this is real important to understand here in Corn Liquor Monthly, is that you have to be careful when you're going after a yellow tinge like he was. We don't know what ingredient he was using. He was cut off somehow. His cellular phone, very bad service where this corn liquor was being made. I don't understand it myself. But he was definitely attempting to tell us what his yellow tinge was for his brand new yellow streaked white lightning. So we are going to try to make contact with him again on his new cellular phone out in wherever he is. I'm sure it's somewhere in the woods with his corn liquor. And that'll be pretty good is what I'm thinking. We'll all learn together. That's right. Wait a minute. It's not that show anymore. It takes one to know one.
Crazy, mad, insane world. Weevils wobble, but they don't fall down. Pass it on.
This space is for rent. How much are you willing to pay?
Cool it, Sir Oliver Goatee.
Crazy, mad, insane world. one to no one. Jack rules. Here is your host, Jack Hatfield.
Enjoyment, but they also sent me a whole bunch talking about where you've been, and that's how life is, which will really coincide with the new book. I can't tell you the title yet. The trademark is being done. Then it's going to then it goes on to tell you it's easy to bitch, easy to lie, easy to moan, easy to cry, easy to feel like there is nothing in your life. It's harder to work, it's harder to strive. It's hard to be glad to be alive, but it's really worth it if you give it a try. And by taking that on our consideration, we are here. This is not the Corn Liquor Monthly Show. This is the Jack Hatfield Show, and we're here. And tonight is our Book of List Show. Yay! Where's my stuff? Okay, the top eight expressions causing the greatest fear. Number eight, there's no cause for alarm. That's a good one. That's exactly the opposite of what I think is trying to say. Number seven, I can't kill it. And that is funny in a way because my daughter just this weekend on July 4th. Oh, by the way, happy late Independence Day to each and every one of you listening. Daughter gets a safari bug gun just this week, this weekend, goes out in search of the elusive, you know, bug to suck up into the bug gun. What it does is it vacuums it up into a chamber, and then you turn the knob, chamber closed, and it becomes a magnifying glass to inspect your specimens in the specimen container. About 5 minutes of going out into the yard with her new found safari bug gun, she goes, "Daddy! I've got a big mama here." So I quickly go and say, okay, what are we looking at? A beetle, you know, small cat. I don't know. It's weird. We go out there and there's this animal, insect, crawling along the ground. It's about an inch long. Got red velvet fur lining the back of it, its head and its thorax and its abdomen. Red velvet fur. Come to find out, you go look that up. It is known as the red velvet ant. But there's a little secret. The red velvet ant is not an ant at all. No. It is a wasp. And not only is it a wasp, but its sting is known as the... and in various other places. And there, luckily, there's like one around in an area. So... we got the one. It's actually in a jar, and we're waiting the oxygen in that jar to dissipate enough for that red velvet wasp. What they say about this wasp is that not only can it sting you enough to kill a cow, it also, if it stings a human, the pain is worse than almost any other sting that anyone's ever had. Now, I've had almost wasps and bees and all kind of stuff, and a wasp, when it hit my back, I remember thinking that, you know, something was stabbing right through me right there. And I was like, wow, what is that? That's amazing. But it's very intense neurotoxin that wasp has. But they say this red velvet ant, which is not an ant at all, it's a wasp, its sting will hurt in severe pain for over 30 minutes. For over 30 minutes in severe pain, it is absolutely horrendous. And then the knot on your finger or wherever it stings you will remain for a month. So that is an amazing creature. So I'm really glad she didn't go just inspecting, because almost every other bug she goes and grabs onto, she just simply grabs and brings inside. Like, here, mommy, check out this spider. It's a tarantula. And I found it in the yard. But anyway, back to what were we doing? The eight expressions causing the greatest fear. I get to add my own. Besides, I can't kill it, is daddy. Come look at this, a big mama. Number six. Remember, these are eight expressions causing the most fear. Number six, you're being traded to Cleveland. That's right. That's horrendous. Number five,
we're not alone.
Number four, I am trying to stop. That's going to cause a problem. Number three in our list, hold it right there, mother. That's not a good one either. I'm not lying. And then the IRS is calling. Number two. And number one expression causing the most fear,
it seems to be spreading.
Yeah, that's not good at all. Not good at all. We'll go into those lists. We've got several more we're going to hit today. So we do have lots of stuff to hear. And I'm playing with a brand new studio version for the radio show. I've got all new studio, so when we hit things and things don't happen on time, just like the opener happened, and it was very strange. So now regular listeners to this show learn that we don't open that way anymore. We open with a little funny. We open with a little funny and a little different. But we've got lots of news to cover, so let's get to it, okay, ladies and gentlemen? Let's get down. Washington State Cabernet. Fantastic. I thoroughly suggest you give it a shot. Okay. First thing we need to talk about is up in New York. You New York listeners need to really, 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 really pay attention here. What they're finding in New York is they found a new plant. And it's called the giant hogweed. It has flowers the size of umbrellas. Okay, and it's a really kind of a pretty plant. If you look at it, it looks like a massive dandelion. Like a giant would pick it up and start blowing on it. But if he does that, if a giant did happen to pick up this giant hogweed and start blowing on it, the sap from the plant as it hits you with the flowers could cause blisters and blindness. So that's not good. So New York is now, the New York DHEC is under a big red light, the big red warning on going around and trying to kill the hogweed. Six crews totaling 14 people will visit most of the 944 known giant hogweed sites, and sites with less than 400 plants will be controlled by hand-cutting their roots. Sites with more than 400 plants will be controlled with herbicide. So the plant has been spotted in Nassau and Putnam counties. So if you touch it, remember, it can cause blisters, and it could be the last plant you ever see. The giant hogweed in New York. Not a good thing for you to be touching, people. Keep your hands to yourself. Lots of people know how much of a dog lover I am. And one of these stories were kind of devastating to me, and I just wanted to, my heart's go out in Greenville, South Carolina. The Greenville Police Department, Greenville, Texas. In Greenville, Texas, the Greenville Police Department is grieving over the loss of one of its two police dogs. It was a canine dog. Her name was Liberty. And it's very strange. The officer, okay, that created the canine unit raised Liberty from a pup. and it was a bloodhound. She was definitely used for search and rescue, which is why she was kenneled. But her handler completely forgot to put her in the police department kennel when he got off work Wednesday afternoon. And she died trapped in the back of the car, the hot squad car. Not a good thing. The chief of the department says we all suffer a busy lifestyle and things competing for our attentions. Whether we're shuttling kids here or there, shuttling animals here or there, we get busy and inadvertently things happen. And there are times when you have a tragedy like this here. Despite the loss, they are going to try to determine what would cause the handler, which was handling the dog for such a long time, suddenly forget that the dog was in the car. So a lot of things being looked at here. Like I say, the officer, Jeff Gore, he created the canine unit 11 years ago and has raised this dog from a puppy. But then suddenly, for some weird reason, forgot that he was in the car. Lieutenant Gore has been put on administrative duties while the issues are sorted out. So that is not a good story. I understand that. But I totally love animals, and I hate having to tell you that. But our heart goes out to the Greenville, Texas Police Department for their loss. People listening in Germany, it's very important you hear. And now that we've already spoke to New York, we're going to talk to Germany. That's right. Facebook parties are going to be banned in Germany after a series of gatherings advertised on the website descended into violence. Very strange. All the people sitting around looking at a social media site deciding that they would go to a party full of strangers they've never met before turns weird. Now, I know. Anyway, German authorities have called for parties promoted on the social networking site Facebook, which is suffering mass exodus, ladies and gentlemen. So you know the people that are staying on there don't read anyway to find out why they should be leaving Facebook. Anyway, promoted on the social network site to be prohibited in advance if police believe they pose a threat to law and order. Because last month, 100 police Hamburg police officers made 11 arrests when 1,600... people gate crashed a 16-year-old girl's birthday. The girl who had to flee the party forgotten to switch her Facebook privacy settings when inviting friends to the celebration. So the whole world got to see her inviting her friends to the celebration, and 1,600 I ain't got nothing else better to do people showed up to her party. I think we covered that a little bit on this show. And later in the same month, in the town of Wuppertal, I hope that's right, Germans, you have to help me out. Wuppertal? Could be Wuppertal. Wuppeter. Wuppertal. Wuppertal. I don't know. Actually, German, wouldn't it be Wuppertal? Or Wuppertal? They don't say W's, right? Wuppertal? I don't know. Anyway, the town, police arrested 41 partygoers, and 16 of them were injured when only half, 800 users of the Facebook site caused havoc at another party of another person who forgot to switch on their privacy setting. So really, we're not looking at the site being at fault here, are we? Are we? Anyone? Anyone? I don't think so. Both the people forgot to do something. Clearly says, you want this to be here, do this. Okay? All right. Back in September 20th, a 14-year-old girl forgot her privacy settings, and she feared that 21,000 party guests came to her party, and they did. That was back in 2010. So obviously less people are using Facebook because we went from 21,000 to 1,600 and then 800. So that does prove less people are using Facebook, but it's really going to turn into not good. Anyway, over in Germany, Facebook is one of the most popular with more than 19 million users. So if you screw up with your privacy settings, that's 19 million people that can see something. So that is pretty crazy. So Germans, be careful. You must put up your party invitation in a secure fashion. Make sure it's protected. That's all we're trying to say. Goodness. All right. Doop, 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 doop. Now, here's something funny. Hang on. Let's have a list moment. All right. Another book of lists. Yeah. Where's my button? Goodness. Most effective medical cop-outs. This would be a doctor after you come in and the tests are there, and it says here's your 8 most effective medical cop-outs. Number 8, of course, you've heard this one. The tests were inconclusive. Number 7, we'll run more tests. Number 6, we'll run some tests. Number 5, it's too late to do anything. That's pretty bad. Number 4, it's too early to tell. Number 3, what number am I on? Number 3, it's probably inherited. Number 2, it's all in your mind. And number 1, most effective cop-out, medical cop-out, it's going around. How many people hear this stuff? That's really Oh, goodness. Hey, here's a funny story.
I got a crazy wife. I got a crazy wife. I got a crazy wife.
Crazy wife story. Here's something funny. Down in Mexico, police say a woman was caught trying to sneak her husband out of a Mexican prison in a suitcase. That's right, in a suitcase following the conjugal visit. Apparently, the woman seemed nervous and was pulling a black wheeled suitcase that looked bulky. And a spokesman for the police in the Caribbean state of Quintana Roo. I'm pretty sure that's okay. Quintana Roo, the prison in Chetumal, noticed that the black suitcase, which I guess they allowed her to just wheel on in, looked bulky as she was wheeling on out. I don't know why you're allowed to carry a humongous black suitcase in for a conjugal visit. I mean, is this like, this is my wardrobe change for this visit, sir. I'm just going through he hasn't seen me but once a month, and so I try to make sure I cover every fantasy. Oh, my. There's lots of things I could have said. That was the cleanest thing I could come up with. Spokesman Gerardo Campos said Monday prison guards checked the bag of the 19-year-old Maria del Mar Arjona, and found inmate Juan Ramirez Tijerina curled up inside that suitcase in a fetal position. Just so you know, he's in there for 20 years. Sentenced in 2007 for an illegal weapons possession. Arjona was then arrested and charges are pending. So it could possibly be to where her dream kind of came true. She almost got him out of prison. It seems like she's going to go in.
I got a crazy wife. I got a crazy wife. I got a crazy wife.
Oh my. I'm sure this is someone's wife, but this was very hilarious. New York. Ladies and gentlemen, how y'all doing? Apparently on the subway cam, a woman went from nude from the waist down, set up a wash station on the blue bench of a subway car, and proceeded to take a camping-style shower, meaning she had a bucket of water and she had a hose in which she proceeded to then wash her whole body naked from the waist down. Apparently, she was very concerned about keeping her shirt on, didn't want to get a sunburn, I think. Oh, wait, this is in the subway. With water and suds pooling on the subway car floor, the woman deliberately cleans herself. And, of course, you can check it out on YouTube, I'm sure. And it was a three-part YouTube video, actually. But parts two and three have been removed because they violate YouTube's policy for nudity and sexual content. But anyway, go there and check out how a woman goes and begins camping-style bathing a shower on the New York subway. Very, very strange stuff indeed going on around the world today. We'll have more in just a few minutes. Thank you for tuning in to the Jack Hatfield Show. Sometimes my button in this new studio does not work when it needs to work. It's very strange. Let's see. Here's something. Let's pick on Denver now. New Yorkers, we had you twice. Now we're going to pick on some Denver stuff. Then we're going to have to go back to the list. Very crucial. Denver, the Mile High City, apparently really, really likes to be high. Emphasis on Mile High City, because now, after counting, apparently this stoner had nothing else better to do, after counting all the Starbucks, they found out that there was more medical marijuana dispensaries in Denver than there are Starbucks. That's right. And of course, if that's the case, more people are trying to get mellow, then get ready. What they found out, there's 300 locations where Denver, Colorado's 125,000 residents who have been prescribed medical marijuana can get their medicine. Now, let me throw this at you again. 125,000 people have been prescribed medical marijuana can get their medicine in nearly 300 locations. I believe I don't have that many ATMs for my bank. Anyway, many marijuana stations offer a free joint to new customers, allowing them to sample exotic strains like Jacush, Golden Goat, Romulan Cotton Candy. Local smokers even have a professional critic to help them navigate the gauntlet of bongs, pipes, and vaporizers, or make that essential choice between Super Silver Haze and Purple Passion. That's right, the critic's pen name is Willem Breeze, and he keeps his real identity secret, obviously, to ensure he gets the same treatment as any other patient. His weekly weed purchase is paid for by Denver Westward, a popular alternative weekly that hired Breeze after its editors realized they were serving one of the most stoned readerships in America. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure everybody has those free times laying around or the free something. This is the same thing, Denver Westward. Anyway, Westward editor Patricia Calhoun says it's a fun new writing era, and if your publication prides itself on doing strong cultural coverage of art, theater, and food, then why not do pot too? Yes. Unlike his fellow smokers, this critic does not follow his puffs with a Pauly Shore marathon or prolonged meditation over content of his pantry. He powers up his desktop and crafts a detailed review of both the grass and the medical marijuana dispensary that sold it to him. A recent review, for example, reads, "The Platinum Perps had an orange rind tartness to it, which would have gone great with the sticky sweet smell of tangerine haze. There was also a solid triple D, very floral flow, and some well-done train wreck renamed Charlie Sheen, appropriately enough. Other more unique strains out of Scott's Cocoa Mix Garden, including Scott's Blue, the Tange, and Face Wreck Haze smelled so good I wanted to make a potpourri bowl out of them for my office." That's right, this critic, a journalist who used to cover local politics and so passionate about weed culture, they got a friend at the phone company to give him a number that ends in 420. Breeze was an ideal fit for this new niche. With 15 other states and Washington, D.C. now allowing the use of medical marijuana, Breeze is also tackling the ongoing political battles around the drug as medicine. When earlier this year the Colorado legislator looked around and saw Starbucks, marijuana place, Starbucks, marijuana place, marijuana place, marijuana place, marijuana place, Starbucks, they were considering a bill to crack down on driving under the influence by pot smokers. Breeze had a blood analysis done to show he was three times over the proposed legal limit, even after not smoking all day and being pronounced sober by a doctor. The bill did not pass. Goodness. So Breeze says it's a great gig, but this is something only other journalists really get. It's still a job. Yeah, I smoke weed, but I still have to write, and I still have to meet deadlines, and I still have editors. If I don't take it seriously, I'll be fired. Dig it, man. Dig it. Denver, seriously? Starbucks? Medical marijuana? Medical marijuana? Medical marijuana? Starbucks? Pretty soon it's going to be real, real slow in Denver. Real slow. Let me see. Do I have something really slow? Really slow. This might be. This is for the Denverites out there. All of you listening on BTR.com. I don't want to move too fast. Denver, Colorado. You know how it is, Denver. Unsuccessful, but nine very unsuccessful pickup lines, ladies and gentlemen. 9 very unsuccessful pickup lines on our Book of Lists show right here. Number 9, I had to find out what kind of woman would do that. That is not going to, not going to get you in good favors there. Number 8, you're ugly, but you intrigue me. That's, I don't know about that. That's interesting. Because wasn't there a show called Ugly Betty? And she was intriguing. You could probably turn it to that way. You're kind of like Ugly Betty, but intriguing. Instead of just calling her ugly. Anyway, number 7, I just threw up. Not a good pickup line at all. Very unsuccessful. And these are unsuccessful, meaning that they have been attempted and failed. So we are right on it. Number 6, would you like to come to a party in my tool shed? That, I do believe that has a 99% failure rate. Number 5, hi, my friends call me creepy. Not going to be a good one there. Number 4, I'm drunk. Now, I disagree with this a little bit. I'm drunk is a mating call somewhere around 2 a.m., I do believe. If someone just starts screaming that, I think it's caused a lot of people to, how do they term it, hook up. Number 3, remember these are very unsuccessful pickup lines. Number 3, you look just like a hooker I knew in Fresno. That's true. And then number 2, very unsuccessful, is that a false nose? Ooh, that's not going to be a good one. And number 1, used many, many times by many men, but failed almost every time. Would you like to see my boa constrictor? What is happening here? I didn't write these people. I'm just reading them for you. We'll be right back after I propose myself. You're listening to the Jack Hatfield Show. In a few minutes, we're going to tell you how to get more of this and all the other stuff we do. Personnel. Lots of people were saying that last one might not have failed every time. Don't know. But, you know, it's on the list. Again, didn't write it, just reading it. Here we go. Here's something very crucial, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, I'm very into baby's health. We're also very, very much into health. We have an 8-part series, Disease and the Diet, we're about to release to the world, which is a series of 8 books and 8 videos. It's going to be fantastic. So get your copy soon. And to find out how we do these things, follow me on Twitter. It's a great place to keep up with the latest. Go to twitter.com/Jack Hatfield. And the other sites, I don't care what you do. So just on Twitter, twitter.com/Jack Hatfield. And, of course, you can always email me at jhatfield@naturalsuccessprinciples.com. And we'll have a bunch of new websites to go to, and we are redoing the Natural Success Principles website. So lots of exciting things happening, because when we flip this show from Fix the Family, Fix America, which is still going on, by the way, don't freak out. You know, we're getting a little more musical, a little more funny, a little more crazy, but we're still going to talk about some deep issues all the time. Now, here's an issue that I cannot get over when I read the headline. And as you know, I am against anything that's causing children problems, which is, you know, So that makes me against soy and all the other engineered oils. And come to find out, there is currently a link between the depression pills and autism. We're going to look at that here in a little bit. But here's one that I thought since the 1600s in London that we knew this would be bad. The headline was burning coal indoors linked to birth defects. Now, I'm pretty sure in London when they had chimney sweeps and they all went out of business because they stopped burning stuff, coal in their heaters and et cetera, that we knew that the grill, the charcoal grill, should be located outside. I'm pretty sure when you buy, let me see here. Let me pull up a new tab in our studio supercomputer here. We're going to, we're just going to Google a barbecue grill. Okay. Barbecue grill. All right. And then we're going to simply search for a barbecue grill. Okay. Then we're going to see if there's any safety talk about the barbecue grill here real quick. Hang on one second. Okay, so safety talk. Trying to see grill selector, compare grills, grilling tips. This could be crucial here. Grilling tips. Grilling guide. Here's a grilling guide. So right when you're ready. Nope. This is how to cook stuff. Okay. Charcoal users guide. This is a PDF. This could be awesome here. Hang on. We're going to look. Here we go. Safety symbols. Warnings. Number one warning. Failure to follow the dangers, warnings, and cautions contained in this owner's manual may result in serious bodily injury or death, or in a fire or an explosion causes damage to property. So the number one rule is failure to follow the rules in the next three headings could kill you or hurt you. Okay? Number two rule. Here it is. All right. The first rule is read all the rules and follow them or you die. All right? First rule of the grill. Now, again, this is the charcoal grill user guide manual that you get when you purchase a charcoal grill. This is very important. Let me go up one line because this is important. Failure to heed these danger, warning, and caution statements. So they have them listed. This is crucial. They have them listed as danger. So these are the real important ones that you must listen to. Warning, these are very important warnings that you listen to. And then, of course, the caution, just like a yellow light, you totally ignore, right? So anyway, the first rule of page 0 of the charcoal grill user guide says, failure to heed these danger, warning, and caution statements may cause serious bodily injury or death, or a fire or explosion resulting in damage or property. So number one rule says, read all these rules, and if you don't follow them, you could die. Here's number two, under the danger section. So we know that there's a danger section, a warning section, caution section. Here's number one rule after the danger section. Do not use indoors. This barbecue is designed for outdoor use only. The reason I laugh when I talk a lot is because you have no idea what's happening in my brain, and it takes a lot of work to keep it from coming out of my mouth. That is the most amazing stunt of this radio show, ladies and gentlemen. Number one, do not use indoors. This bar, I can hear it, though. This is the problem. I know people. I know people. They'll look at Gwendolyn. I'm going to bring in the grill because it's too hot to grill outside. Oh, my. I don't know why I named her Gwendolyn. Gwendolyn, it's too hot to grill outside. I'm going to bring it inside. Or worse, it's raining, Gwendolyn. We can't have steaks in the rain. The charcoal grill won't work. I'll just bring it inside. This is why I laugh. I know human beings that will say this word, say these words, maybe not to Gwendolyn, but you know what I'm saying. The barbecue is designed for outdoor. This is continuation of rule one after it says do not use indoors. The barbecue is designed for outdoor use only. If used indoors, toxic fumes will accumulate and cause serious bodily injury or death. Okay? Do you understand that they said, I pulled it right up, ladies and gentlemen, right here, right now, live. This is why this show is important for you. Live, pulled up the charcoal user guide for a charcoal grill. The number one rule was failure to follow anything under danger, warning, or caution could kill you. Number one rule under danger was do not use indoors. This barbecue is designed for outdoor use only. If used indoors, toxic fumes will accumulate and cause serious bodily injury or death. All right, so let's go on. Let's dig a little deeper into this. This is very important. Number three, only use this barbecue outdoors in a well-ventilated area. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds an awful lot like rule number two. I think it sounds so important they reiterated rule number two. Number two said do not use indoors. Number three is only use this outdoors. For the people that did not understand do not. They didn't read the do not use indoors. They didn't read the do not. So they said use indoors. Well, that means I can use it indoors. Well, rule number three is only use this outdoors. Okay, so they understood that some people, while reading rule two, would be too stupid to understand it. So they reiterated it with rule three. Only use this barbecue outdoors in a well-ventilated area. They go on. Do not use in a garage, a building, a breezeway, or any other enclosed area. Do you understand what they just said? Here's number four. For the people who did not grasp the fact that you cannot use this indoors, it says, do not use this barbecue under any overhead combustible construction. That means if you look up and that whatever you see above you will burn, don't use this grill. So they not only tell you not to use it indoors, they reiterate it that you should use it only outdoors. And then they reiterate it one more time going, if you look up and what you see will burn, you can't use this grill. Now, just for fun, let's go into some cautions. The other end of the spectrum. Caution, the barbecue should be thoroughly clean on a regular basis. This is far less important. They're correct. This is far less important than do not use indoors. Only use outdoors. When you look up, if it burns, don't light the grill. Here's something else under caution. Using sharp objects to clean the cooking grate or remove ashes could damage the finish. That is a lot less important. So, we now know that when you buy a charcoal grill, you get three chances of not doing it inside. But here's the problem. Burning coal indoors linked to birth defects. Remember, that's what we were on. That's what this whole sidetrack story went into. Burning, it's all about the children right here, ladies and gentlemen. This is what I'm trying to tell you. Burning coal indoors linked to birth defects. Parents who inhale coal smoke at home may put their babies at increased risk of birth defects. Now, who did this study, ladies and gentlemen? Who did this study on post-Independence Day? Chinese researchers say, Zian Li and colleagues at the Peking University Health Science Center in Beijing found the odds of having malformations of the brain and spine, known as neural tube defects, are 60% higher for children whose mothers inhaled coal smoke than the children of unexposed mothers. Now, here's something very strange that I did not know. A 2004 report, now this is a seven-year-old report by the World Health Organization, estimated that 90% of rural households worldwide, okay, so 90% of rural households worldwide use coal and other biomass fuel such as wood, charcoal, and dung . 90% of all homes in the world uses coal, wood, charcoal, and or dung for cooking and heating. In rural areas. Do you know anyone in rural areas? Yes, of course you do. Okay, do you know 10 people? Well, 9 of them are burning coal indoors, or wood, or dung. I do not remember, and I've been to a lot of rural places, places where you don't feel safe visiting because no one can hear you scream. You are that far out in the rural. Okay? And I do not one time recall them using wood, coal, or dung for heating their house or cooking inside their house. So, it's very odd to me that this 2004 report by the World Health Organization has impugned coal so badly. Anyway, that wasn't the headline, so let's get back to this. Burning coal indoors linked to birth defects. The indoor air pollution caused by grilling in your kitchen, it's not what they said, but you get my point, is a major public health concern given the very large numbers, obviously, of households that rely on these fuels. In other words, 90% of Earth uses coal, wood, or dung inside their home. So, that's not good. And coal smoke has many similarities to cigarette smoke. So they've now aligned it with the absolute worst product on Earth, right? Remember how we spoke about the guy with the heart zipper on your packages of cigarettes very soon? Couldn't get any smokers to tell me if that's going to get them to stop, but it will open up the cover your cigarette pack up sale. Anyway, coal smoke contains many chemicals, arsenic, carbon monoxide, lead. And anyway, mothers breathing in this coal smoke can up the neural tube defect 60%, which includes spina bifida and other spine abnormalities. What they did was they did exposures for parents of 610 infants with neural tube defects, 837 healthy infants. And 90% of the infants with neural tube defects lived in a house that used coal for cooking. Wow. So here's the interesting stuff. Smith, one of the researchers. Wait a minute, where does Smith come from? Oh, excuse me. Sorry about the yawn. Kirk Smith was a professor of global environmental health at the University of California, Berkeley. He has said, plain and simple, coal can't be burned cleanly and it should be banned from all household use. Do you understand? There's a big war on the burning of coal. And if they get it to where they understand that you can't burn it in your home, the next logical step is it shouldn't be burned at all. Remember, you listen to this show for the stories behind the stories. And I want you to put your thinking cap on and grasp why the possibility they would back up and now say 90% of rural households burn coal or dung. Very strange. They didn't say anything about dung hurting you. They simply went after the coal. What happens if it's 30, 30, 30? 30 wood, 30 coal, 30 dung. Do we have a number on the number of households that burn dung? Where do they obtain this dung? These are questions that were unanswered in this article. Very strange. Real quick, one more list before we get into our wonderful segment of the show, which is where Adele Amani tells you her magic minute, her magnificent minute, ladies and gentlemen. She is from Ireland. She currently lives across the pond in the UK. She is with me on my mission to get everyone to be better humans. And if you recall, we coupled on Fix the Family, Fix America, and we are also coupling Moving It Down One to make fun of the idiots, basically. And so, well, she doesn't do that. She doesn't call anyone an idiot. She's a very wonderful person, and you're going to hear her magic minute in just a few seconds. But here's six top six surefire lines to get him to break off the relationship. So, ladies, you are with a loser, right? You are with a loser. Here are your six surefire lines. You can get rid of the loser today, right? Top six. Number six, my Uncle Vito and his friends would like to talk to you. Now, I believe that's a segment of the show, popular show, The Sopranos. Yes. Number five, I'm already pregnant and I don't know who the father is. That probably is going to get him to break off the relationship a little bit. Number four, I start out the day with raw onions. That's not going to work if you're already in the relationship, about years into the relationship. Not going to work at all. This one's not going to work either. I collect dead spiders, keep them in jars in my closet. Number two, this will work. This will fend him off immediately. I am not into bathing. I'm pretty sure. And number one, if you haven't slept with him yet, simply say, I wield knives and do karate chops in my sleep. It's a very valid, important point to tell your soon-to-be suitor, ladies and gentlemen. And now, with a small break of magnificence, Adele Amani from Ireland in UK giving you the Magnificent Minute.
Welcome to Adele's Magic Minutes. I'm Adele Amani, the UK's expert in energetic communications. And through these minutes, I desire to bring answers to all the questions being asked about bringing wealth, success, love and happiness into your life and bring you an awareness that everything that comes into your experience and every opportunity that comes to you is actually there because you have created it, you have attracted it. Now, one of the biggest areas that people find difficult to allow things to be attracted to them is when they hold resistance. Now, we hold resistance when we allow ourselves to live in a lack of self-confidence, a lack of self-belief, when we listen to social conditioning or generational conditioning, when we let others take control of our lives. And the resistance, what happens when I say resistance, is this is where we in our physical bodies have actually dropped to a lower vibration, that our body resonance is in a lower vibration to where our natural energy beings are, which is always at high vibration. And when that happens, we actually cause a disconnection. So let's put it this way. When you are in abundance and when everything flows to you very, very easily and effortlessly, you are in complete connection with your energy. You are aligned with high vibration. When you find in your experiences that everything you desire is not coming to you, and everything you desire, you seem to be getting the opposite, this is because you have disconnected from your natural high vibration. You have actually moved yourself into a lower vibration. And in low vibration, you cannot attract. You can only attract what comes on that vibration, because this is how the universe works. The universe will attract back exactly what you resonate. So all while you're in a low vibration, you will get experiences around the same vibration, whatever they are. So in order to be abundant and to have your wealth and your success, you must be vibrating out the same resonance. Now, the way to let go of resistance is if you imagine looking at animals or nature, but animals, pets, wildlife, whatever. Now, you don't see them fretting over how they're going to live, how they're going to get by today, where are the fields they're going to find themselves to sit down. All animals have a direct connection to their source energy. They're always in the flow. There's no resistance. They adapt to every situation. So when you worry, it causes resistance. We need to take lessons from animals and from nature and believe in the process. Allow and let go. Enjoying every experience. That way, you will attract more enjoyable experiences to you. You see, whatever we've been told in the past, we are actually here to be magnificent. It is our natural state of being. We are here to create. That is why we are here. We are here to have experiences that are of our creation. And inside every single one of us is the ability to be an incredibly powerful creator. If we just tap into it, if we just connect to it. And in the work that I do, you know, this is what I'm doing. I'm waking up people. I'm, you know, bringing them out, turning them into peaceful warriors and getting them creating, because we are here to experience life at its fullest, and we are here to live our passion. We're not here to just get by and just wait for another day to finish. That's not living. So I want you to live your life. I want you to live your passion. And the best way to do that is to let go of that resistance, and is to start allowing and believing in the process and just getting out there and living.
Wonderful, wonderful stuff. Adele Amani, friend, wonderful human. Make sure you follow her as well. Twitter.com, Adele Amani. And that's EdelMomahony. Follow her along with following me, Twitter.com/Jack Hatfield, to get all the up-to-date news and funnies and all kind of other stuff that you can't wait a week for. Now, if you're listening to this show as a recording, you still can follow us on Twitter, but understand that you've already missed some. Ha ha ha! If you're just joining us and you're listening to it as a recording, you've started in the wrong spot. Hit rewind and start back at the beginning. And for those who understand that we are on a mission, and that mission is the world record of the world's largest opening for a show in history, this is it.
Crazy, mad, insane world.
Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Pass it on.
This space is for rent. How much are you willing to pay?
Cool, Mr. Oliver Goat Cheese.
Fix it here before the end of the show, but I had some stuff happening. Again, this new studio is kind of weird. I've got new buttons. I've got a lot of stuff. And the buttons move, which is interesting. Very interesting that the buttons move. If you click on them, you have the ability to move them, or they work like a button. And so if you don't click exactly 100% correct, you could mess up. Let's see if I can help myself here with typing a little note. Da, da, da. Doobie-doo. Copy flu. You know. You know what I'm talking about. So, the second hour of this show, we've hit a lot of topics, had a lot of fun. Let's get a little serious, because this is when we hit the politics portion of the show. We hit the crazy parents or crazy mom or dad's portion of the show. Or we hit some things that just kind of make you going to go, ah, that's kind of crazy. Then we've got a funny article at the end. But, of course, it's our Book of Lists show, right? And here is 9 pieces of flattery that we could do without. Now, I'm sure if you raise your hands if you've heard these. These are 9 pieces, top 9 pieces of flattery that we can do without. Number 9. You never flinch when they mugged us. That's pretty much not a good piece of flattery, but, you know, if you're trying to be cool, that's not bad. Number 8, you've taken your bankruptcy like a man. And in this economic times, that's probably been heard way too often. Number 7, you've been calm and cool all through this earthquake. We don't need that kind of flattery. Number 6, I don't know about you, but I've heard it. You may not be good looking, but you're sweet. Number 5, you take insults beautifully. Number 4, you're brave. Most men would have passed out from the pain. Number 3, you're lucky. Most men would have fractured both arms. Number 2, you're really terrific to put up with my playing around. That's very similar to the other one. Again, I didn't write them. Number 1, heard it before. You're a hell of a good loser. Yay. Yay. That's never want to hear that one. How about that? Live. Here's a small review. We talked about how Germany said no Facebook parties. We talked about how burning coal indoors can cause birth defects. Here's 2 articles that I do believe should commingle because of the problem. Here's the number 1 article, ladies and gentlemen, is there is now an antidepressant epidemic. 1 in 3 women, that means 33% of women, are taking pills to relieve despair during their life. 1 in 3 women have taken antidepressants at some point in their lives, researchers say. Okay? They also found that 48% of the women that were currently using the drug, okay, 48% of the women that are currently using the drug, the antidepressant drug that they are on, have been taking them for at least 5 years, and 24% have taken them for 10 years or more. Regular listeners of this show know we went into an antidepressant rage one day on this show. We talked about how there's absolutely not one single study that can prove that it stops or blocks a neuron or a... Every single commercial for an antidepressant, listen closely, says we believe or it can or it might stop, you know, this neuron from talking to this neuron, or it stops this hormone from talking to this hormone. We believe. They have no proof of why the drug works. So anyway, 1 in 3 women, 33% of women have taken antidepressants at some point in their lives. (clears throat) 48% of women currently using the drug, taking them more than 5 years, and 24% of them currently using the drug 10 years or more. And then another 24% of the women on antidepressants have waited a year or more for a review. So, 24, 24, and 48, pretty close to 100, have taken antidepressants that are currently on it for more than a year, than 5 years, than 10 years. I mean, that's amazing. The figures pose worrying questions about the appropriateness of prescriptions. I think it has worrying questions about why women think they need it. What's going on in lives today? Yes, the economy sucks. Your personal economy doesn't have to suck, though. We went over that over and over and over. There's not a lot of good news. Heck, I could have an entire 2-hour show just telling you bad news. Right? But why in the world are a third of ladies turning to antidepressants? They're finding out that working with women and girls in the centers, they're finding antidepressants have a role to play, and they're too readily prescribed, says Rebecca Gill. 3 in 5 women are offered no alternative to drugs when they explain their condition. Do you understand this? That means when you go in, you go, you know what, doc, I don't feel right. Economy's got me down. Life's got me down. I don't feel right. Here's an antidepressant. Great. I'll take it for 10 years. So anyway, the people who did this study are calling on health authorities to launch a review into the guidelines for antidepressant use and prescription. Here's another wonderful stat. 18% of people keep that prescription a secret from their family, and 1 in 10 does not even tell their partner they're on antidepressants. Now, here's something else. They say people with depression have a chemical imbalance in the brain. Can a chemical imbalance in the brain be caused by diet? If a chemical balance can be caused by a pill, then a chemical imbalance can definitely be caused by diet. All right? It claims to state antidepressants work by increasing the levels of chemicals called neurotransmitters, such as serotonin and dopamine. What else gives you serotonin? What else gives you dopamine? Dopamine comes from exercise. Is it possible that we're seeing a full circle here with a dietary imbalance, social, actual physical social contact going down with the use of all the Facebooks? I Many antidepressants actually relieve some of the physical feelings of the tension, but they won't tackle what have caused the depression in the first place, ladies and gentlemen. Therefore, a lot of doctors have been advised to prescribe drugs in combination with therapy. Remember, you got depressed for a reason. And if that reason doesn't go away, if your husband is depressing you, your children are depressing you, your house is depressing you, whatever you think is depressing you, you no one ever looks at diet. Just for fun, let's go into some side effects of these antidepressants. Tricyclics can give you dry mouth, slight tremor, fast heartbeat, constipation, sleepiness, and weight gain. But you're not depressed. You're happy about every one of them. SSRIs can cause heightened anxiety and nausea in the first fortnight and may disrupt sexual function, but you're very happy about not doing it. SNRIs, same thing as that, and can also increase blood pressure. Hey! MAOIs, rarely prescribed, can cause dangerously high blood pressure. And NASSAs can cause the same thing as the SSRIs, which is heightened anxiety and nausea in the first fortnight, disrupt sexual function, and can also make you be sleepy. So no, you don't want to have sex and you want to sleep, but you have nausea at the same time and you're worried about it. But you're not depressed. What in the world is going on? Here's the key to this headline. 33% of women taking antidepressants in their lives. Here's the key. A new study, preliminary but provocative, find women that take antidepressants during pregnancy have a higher risk of having a child with autism. That's right. This another study. That's one study. Here's another study published in the same place examining autism in pairs of identical and fraternal twins found that environmental factors play a greater role than previously believed. All right, there is a doubling of the risk of autism if the mother filled a prescription for antidepressants at any point in the year before delivery. It triples if she fills the prescription during the first trimester of pregnancy. Do you hear me? A third of women take antidepressants. Autism is on the rise. Antidepressants are humongous moneymaker. The data seems to prove there's an adverse outcome in children to taking these antidepressants and not just taking them during pregnancy. You can double the risk of autism if you did it at any point in a year before delivery. What about for the 48% of women currently on antidepressants taking them for 5 years or more? What is their pregnancy going to look like? What about the 24% of mothers taking it for 10 years or more? What is their pregnancy going to look like? And just so you know, they predominantly looked at the SSRIs and the relationship between the mother's use of these SSRIs and the child having autism. They did not search for this, but it remained after the researchers statistically accounted for the effects of other factors that might be related to either condition, such as maternal age, ethnicity, education, as well as baby birth weight and where the baby was born. Do you grasp this study? In the antidepressant study, they even tried to tear apart whether the mother's mental state or the antidepressants were linked with autism? In other words, saying, could the mother mental state be causing this problem? But when they asked the mothers, were you depressed or were you on antidepressants, the results indicated an association with the treatment, not with the mother's mental state. In other words, if the pattern can be replicated in a broader population of children, this will add to the growing list of cautions about exposing children and adolescents and yourself, moms, to medications without a very clear demonstrated need. John Marsh, director of neurosciences medicine at Duke Clinical Research Institute. He wasn't involved in the study, but he says, wow. Previous research, in other words, other research that you haven't heard about in the news, ladies and gentlemen, has shown people with autism have female relatives with a greater likelihood of depression or anxiety. So what looks like a link between your mother being upset or depressed or having anxiety can now be a link between what she's taking. And as I said earlier, 1 year before doubles the risk of autism. During the first trimester, triples. What about the lady that's been taking it for 10 and 5 and 10 years? Wow. Are we going to see an instantaneous lowering of antidepressants in moms? What do you think, ladies and gentlemen? I don't think so. Is this story going to continue? It will continue right here on this show. Is it going to get a lot of play in your regular media? I don't think so. We have to continue the vigilant, watchful eye over prescription drugs. Just so you get a grasp of how worldwide this is, the autism link with the antidepressants, okay, was done by an epidemiologist in the research division of Kaiser Permanente, Northern California. The research on the antidepressants and how many women are taking them took place in America and UK over in Britain. 2 completely unrelated facts. In other words, the one study did not come out because of the and we're not having, birth rates are actually down in most countries. We're not having more children. We're simply having more autism. We're having more cancer. We're having more degenerative diseases across the globe. Remember, world, nation, family, people, yourself, you've got to start learning. You've got to start gaining the knowledge necessary to fix this. One of the knowledges right there in front of you. Two unrelated studies I just went into. Very, very amazing. Okay. All right. We're going to talk about something that makes you high again, Denver. So we'll play something slow for you real quick. Those of you just tuning in, this is the Denver Miles High Radio. Another book of lists. That's right. This is our book of lists day. The 8 least comforting pieces of good news. Number 8, don't kill him. Just work him over. Number 7, the blotches will disappear in time. Number 6, he's alive. What's left of him. Number 5, with good behavior, you'll be out in 10 to 20. Number 4, wait a minute. Except for that guy trying to get out in the suit. Number 4, at least they didn't steal the silver. Number 3, we know who firebombed your house. Number 2, we only have to pull the front ones. That's terrible. Number 1, be glad. This is, again, 8 least comforting pieces of good news. Be glad it was only your transmission. Not good. Not good at all. Okay, so Denver, Mile High people. Here's something else they found out. Not only do you have the most medicinal marijuana joints, you even have more than Starbucks. They have found out that it's possible that there's a marijuana, somewhat cannabis-like chemical that drives our lust for junk food. What? That's right. Scientists are trying to figure out why it's so difficult to walk away from tasty but unhealthy food. Now, again, these scientists are deeming these foods unhealthy by some stretch of the imagination, in which we must then look into why it would be unhealthy. We know why soy is unhealthy. We know why corn oil is unhealthy. We know why canola is unhealthy. We know that right here, my regular listeners. But then they're picking on stuff like a fried potato. Okay? Anyway, what they're saying is the fats in these snacks may trigger a surprising biological mechanism that likely drives our gluttonous behavior. Very important for you to grasp here, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to dig deep into this article. The culprit is a natural marijuana-like chemical in the body called endocannabinoid. That's right. That means inside your cannabis. And not that one you're thinking about. They discovered when rats tasted something fatty, cells in their upper gut started producing endocannabinoids. Sugars and proteins did not have this effect. Now, why did the researchers name something in the stomach that kicks off after you eat a fat? And why did they name them endocannabinoid? Let's dig some more. The process starts on the tongue, where fats in the food generate a signal that travels first to the brain, then to a nerve bundle called the vagus, to the intestines. Okay? The signal then stimulates the production of what they call endocannabinoids, which initiates a surge in cell signaling that prompts the wanton intake of fatty foods. Let me repeat that in terms you and I can understand. Maybe not you, mostly me. The signal that your brain just sent out to the vagus nerve stimulates the production of endocannabinoids, which initiates a surge in cell signaling that then makes you want to eat more food. Okay? That's what they're saying happens. But then the truth reveals itself in a very small little sidebar. Ready? This most likely occurs by initiating release of digestive chemicals linked to hunger and satiety that compel us to eat more. Wait. Hunger, satisfaction, digestive chemicals will then link back to our body and say we're good to go. Okay? Professor Piomelli, the guy who did this study, said that from an evolutionary standpoint, okay, he said there's a compelling need for animals to consume fats. What he needed to say was there's a survival need for animals to consume fats. Then he goes on to say these fats are scarce in nature, but crucial for proper cell functioning. Hello. Hello. Hello out there. Is this thing on? I can't tell. Hello. The man who does the study, trying to tell you that you have an endocannabinoid cell that kicks off when you eat something fat. In other words, your brain goes, hey, we need more of that. You got to keep on eating. And we'll never be full because it'll all be beautiful, man. Denver, you see what I'm saying? We're going to start really picking on Denver. I'm not kidding. Listenership in Denver just went up 9 million%. Going, dude, he's talking about it. I love it. If you can, Denverites, I don't know what you're called. If you can find your phone and you can dial 7 consecutive digits for your friend, tell them to listen to the show as well. And also tell them to follow us on twitter.com/Jack Hatfield, where you could just simply look at your phone and you would get little fun little sayings of 160 characters or less from me. You don't even have to move from your sofa. Okay, anyway, Professor Piomelli goes on to say, in contemporary human society, however, fats are readily available, and the innate drive to eat fatty foods leads to obesity, diabetes, and cancer. I wholeheartedly disagree with Professor Piomelli. Excuse me, I was about to say something awesome. And I do believe the little angel on my shoulder threw dust into my mouth. Fatty foods leading to obesity. Not going into the fact of what fats you're eating. Mountain lions who kill an elk and eat it are very thin. Nerds are boys that don't grow up and live at home with their parents and sit on a beanbag and eat Cheetos made from corn and soybean oil, two products in which they've used to fatten up cows. Are not the same diet. All right, anyway, Professor Piamelli, here's the whole key to this article. He said that it might be possible to curb this endocannabinoid activity by obstructing it. In other words, using drugs that clog cannabinoid receptors. That's right. Since these drugs, this is key, since these drugs wouldn't need to enter the brain, they shouldn't cause the central side effects, anxiety and depression, when endocannabinoid signaling is blocked in the brain. A completely unrelated study trying to come up with another drug that could obstruct a stomach cell suddenly called endocannabinoid. Now, this stomach cell has been inside you, inside rats, inside chickens, inside cows, inside mountain lions. Do you think maybe it's not an endocannabinoid, but it's a survival mechanism to say, hey, you're eating what I need, eat more? And when we give it the improper fat, such as soy, corn, or canola, our body did the correct thing by saying eat more because it looks like a fat, tastes like a fat. And then suddenly when it gets in there, it goes, this isn't a fat. I don't know what this is. This is something that isn't seen in nature. Are you grasp this fact? Fact. There's something in your body, even Professor, I have so many words I want to say. I got to get them out. Even Professor Piamelli said, there's something in your body that says, you have to eat this. It is crucial for you to survive. It is crucial for proper cell functioning. Something in your brain and in your stomach says, hey, that's fat. We love that. Feed that to us. Get as much as you can. Your body wants it, must have it. There is no if, and, buts about it. To make fat an enemy doesn't make any sense. If there's a connection, if this gentleman, Professor Piamelli, just found this connection, where on the tongue, fats in the food generate a signal that goes to the brain and to the vagus nerve, that then come around and tell you, hey, dude, this is for Denver, hey, dude, eat more of this. You have to have it. Corn, canola, soy, looks like fat, tastes like fat, does not occur in nature. Does not. You cannot run up to a corn pile and get the release of the endocannabinoid. Do you understand what I'm saying? You cannot run up to a soybean plant and get a release of the endocannabinoid. For one, if you run up to a soy plant in its raw form, you will die. Oh, wait, what is he talking about? You cannot run up to the rapeseed plant and start chewing on it to get a release of the endocannabinoid. Yet these are the three fats prevalent in almost everything you eat. Soy is in over 188,000 products in your grocery store. Now I'm not going to turn this into a disease in the diet forum here real quick. But what this, the deep part of this study is that your body must eat fats. And I promise you this, if your body eats the right fats, you will not, cannot, no way, no how get fat. And it cannot and will not, if your body knows that it's essential for its cells to function, for your life to exist, it knows fat is essential. It cannot lead to obesity. It cannot lead to diabetes. And it cannot lead to cancer. The proper fats. The ones in which the mountain lion go get. Not the one which the Cheeto-eating beanbag sitter punk goes to get. And by punk, what am I talking about? There's an article that says America's Lost Boys. That's right. Why are so many men, you know, you have a layabout character knocked up. You have a lot of films, dozens of films, of lazy 20-something men who spend a lot of time playing video games, and then they don't go out. What's happening in the world that's producing a generation of what's called lost boys who lack the drive to start their careers and instead drop out of college and end up languishing in their parents' basements, sitting in a beanbag, eating Cheetos, surfing the internet? What this study turned up is last year they saw the lowest level of youth summer employment on record. Well, yes, that's part of this economy. We'll go into that in our political segment in a moment. With only 60.5% of those aged 16 to 24 in work or actively looking, compared with 77.5% in 1989. For men, that figure has fallen 20%. All right? And of those, they would still be living at home with their parents than ever before. In 2009, 52.8% of young Americans still had moved out, compared with 47% in 1970. Psychologists are blaming the trend on a range of factors, from boys becoming disillusioned at high school to the rise of video games and internet. Young men get addicted to video games just the same as they get to drugs and alcohol. And according to the guy who looked this up, Leonard Sachs, the five factors setting teenage boys adrift, the lost boys. Video games. Studies suggest that some of those popular video games are disengaging boys from real-world pursuits. Teaching methods. Crucial. Profound changes in the way children are educated have had the unintended consequence of turning many boys off in school. Prescription drugs. Overuse of medication for ADHD may be causing irreversible damage to the motivational centers in boys' brains, not to mention the problems of what all the other drugs mommy's taking. Endocrine disruptors. Get this. Environmental oestrogens. Not estrogens. Oestrogens. Oestrogens. From plastic bottles and soy and other food sources may be lowering boys' testosterone levels, making their bones more brittle and throwing their endocrine systems out of whack. And then the devaluation of masculinity. Shifts in popular culture have transformed the role models of manhood. 40 years ago, we had Father Knows Best. Today, we have The Simpsons. American psychologist Leonard Sachs describes this as an epidemic of untold proportions. Put those all together, ladies and gentlemen, I can promise you one thing. Video games should be thrown out. I have people in the studio telling me yes or no to this. Maybe not people, but I'm getting some definite noise. Here's why I'm going to go ahead and say this. Video games got to be thrown off this list. I know I play video games even to this day. But I'm bound and determined for you to look at me and tell me I'm disengaged from real world pursuits. I have always choked up all violence, any link that they have to the outside bad behavior, to the inside video game. I have always been against it in all ways possible, because I point it to the education and or the environment and or the knowledge of the person playing that game. So throw that out. Teaching methods, perfect. Prescription drugs, we just proved it again. Endocrine disruptors, I've talked about it on the show for over a year. And then the devaluation of masculinity. Men, we've had men after men after men article on what's happening. So you want to talk about boys sitting at home eating Cheetos in a bean bag, excuse me, orange crunchy cheese flavored poofs. Is growing and increasing. In fact, I talked about a book called Think. Now, I am not going to talk about it much more because as I read closer and closer into this book, while it was championing girls in that they were doing better, it also really sought to brainwash you into thinking one way. And I'll go into that into a show in another time. But right now, the number of women in college, and this book showed the same thing, number of women in college is now far greater than that of men. As more highly educated individuals tend to marry other more highly educated individuals. So men who drop out of college may find themselves out of the marriage market. I even read an article today, the high-flying women of China are now looking for whiskey and fast cars, while the men are looking for handbags. This all comes full circle, but it all looks a lot. Out of the four on the list, the teaching methods, prescription drugs, endocrine disruptors, and the devaluation of masculinity, three of them, no, dare say all four of them, can be tied to food and drugs, prescription drugs, medical and the food. And that also explains why right now 4 in 5 parents fear their children will become Facebook addicts or other social media addicts. That's right. 1 in 3 parents believe the internet has the power to rewire brains without a person's knowledge and thinks their children are in danger from the web. Again, video games can't be the cause. All right, before I go into my political segment, I got to get some, where's something happy? Do right here. What is, this is weird. Very weird. How'd that happen? Not that happy with it. Here, this is the work. Here's something happy. This is happy. This is it. Wow, I click something and it doesn't work. One day at a time. That's incredible stuff. I love it. All right. Before we get into the political segment, which I'm going to, I try to hold off to the end because it's just going to make you angry, and so you'll then cut off my show, going, heard of, crotchety old people. Anyway, got to throw some props to a new Miss America hopeful. Right here in Miss South Carolina. What she went through, she was 230 pounds, down to an incredible 110 to win the state contest. Bree Boyce, that's right, 22-year-old singer from South Carolina, is now among this year's surprise Miss America hopefuls. After she loses an incredible 110 pounds to win her state contest, stunning photographs chart her remarkable transformation from the portly teenager to a charming young woman in a body which looks toned and healthy rather than starved. Very crucial. She learned, right, through good eating habits, exercise, and believing in yourself. What she found was, It wasn't about depriving yourself of food. It was simply finding the right food to eat. She even said, if I want chocolate cake, I'm going to eat it. So we throw a prop she heads to Las Vegas in January for the Miss America title. Give her credit right here in Miss South Carolina. Used to, what she holds up as the big pants, which is about half the size of her. Nah, she's just holding up big pants. So she used to be twice the size as she is now. So props to Bree Boyce, beauty queen known as Miss South Carolina, now going on for Miss America. All right, we got not much time left, so it's a perfect opportunity to go right into politics, is it not? Real quick, this is ugly. An 87-year-old Miami man, I got to bring this out, arrested yesterday and accused of sexual battery on a 5-year-old. Okay? 87-year-old men going after 5-year-olds. Pathetic. Pathetic. All right, so there's a recession, right? Well, economists out of this, the White House economists said that the stimulus did create jobs. However, that cost $278,000 per job. And then it now has caused a rebound effect to where the economy now has to shed jobs because that stimulus is no longer providing the money for those jobs. That's right, taxpayers, you have put up $278,000 for a guy to get a job. And then now that is not coming out of the government any longer, so it's now losing those jobs. These jobs earn an average of $46,000 a year. It costs $278,000 for you to hire a $46,000 a year job. In other words, the government simply could have cut a $100,000 check to everyone whose employment was made possible by the stimulus. And we would have saved, that's right, saved $427 billion. How incredible is that for a fact? Oh, and there's 454 White House aides right now. Combined will make $37 million from this year's salary. There's 454 people now helping the president do presidential things, being paid over more than $100,000 a year. No recession there. And in other news, big politics here. They did a study. Men whose index fingers are shorter than their ring fingers may have longer penises. Where does this stuff come from? Ladies and gentlemen, Jack Hatfield. Follow us on Twitter.com/Jack Hatfield. And all the news that you need to get before your next six here on the show. You know you want to come back and be on the I'm